Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Mind Shifters Radio with the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice. I'm Jeannie Rice, your co-host. We also have co-hosts Dr. Tim Hayes and Michelle Bichette. We will share with you the wisdom of the first century Aramaic internal process of forgiveness. We offer tools and support 5 days a week. We will support you in building a solid foundation within yourself to live in pure love, in Aramaic, Brachma. Michael is the author of the book, Why Is This Happening to Me Again? For more information about the forgiveness process, please visit www.whyagain.org. And now, welcome to the show, Mind Shifters Radio.
Welcome to Mind Shifters Radio. I'm Tim Hayes. I'm your host for the first hour. And today is Friday, December 16th, 2022. As always, we're grateful to everyone who's joining us here today, whether you're listening live or through the archives, as we spend another couple of hours teaching and supporting people in using some of the most powerful, effective, efficient, and accessible tools I've ever encountered. And these tools are available absolutely free through the tireless efforts of Dr. Michael and Jeannie Rice on the website at whyagain.org. If you go to that website and click on the Start Here link or the words Start Here in the upper left-hand corner, it will take you to a page where you can download and read Chapter 24 of Dr. Michael Rice's book. His book is titled, Why Is This Happening to Me Again? And that chapter of the book contains a narrative description and explanation of the primary tool in this work. That tool is called the Reality Management Worksheet, sometimes called the Reality Management Wake-Up Sheet, and it's a tool I've been using to great effect in my life for over 18 years to improve the quality of my life and most of my relationships, and to turn any negative emotional experience I have into part of the infallible guidance system that each and every one of us has been given. You can also download the actual worksheet process itself. It's a simple PDF file. Click the link, download it, print it off, copy it as often as you'd like, and use it over and over again absolutely free. No need to add any of your own information or email or credit card. Just click the link, download the file, print it off, and use it as often as you'd like. You can also download a whole host of audio files of shows just like this one, where people have been stepped through the use of that tool. And if you choose to listen to them, they can serve as a powerful tutorial for you to get the most benefit out of these worksheets in the shortest period of time. You can also go to your app store and type in the three words, Heartland Aramaic Forgiveness. And if you choose to do that, before you're done typing the word forgiveness, you'll see the glowing heart icon. If you choose to tap on that, it will let you download a completely free and private app that contains the Reality Management Worksheet. It contains an abbreviated version of that worksheet process, and it contains a copy of the Dragon Klingon game, which is a wonderful way to introduce these tools to even younger audiences. We hope people do all of that soon and often because it tends to improve the quality of people's lives as they apply these tools in their lives. And it also tends to spark comments, questions, answers, or testimonials. And if you have any of those to share with us, you can call us at 563-999-3581. If you call that number and press 1, it'll put the little icon of a hand by your phone number. I'll turn on your microphone and announce you by your area code. And we hope people do that soon and often because it helps make it easier for us to live into our intention with this work. Our intention with this work is to be of service. And if you can give us a call, let us know what your comments or questions are. Have you used these tools? Have you had success in using these tools? Is what we're saying making sense to you or not? All of these things make it easier for us to address what would be of use to you. This year we've been working through the Way of Mastery. We're reading it very carefully, very slowly. Yesterday we had a full hour of comments and questions from one of our listeners, And we didn't read any more of the book. And it's okay. It's okay if we don't read any more of the book. It might be that what we've read already is challenging enough for people. And it might be that it takes us going back to the beginning and starting over before we ever get to the end, and working with and massaging and letting ourselves marinate in the exercises, the suggestions, the observations, the tools that are made available through this text. I realized in getting in prepping for today's show that I have been called recently to explore the archives a little bit more than I normally do, and part of that is because I'll be taking some time off on the week between Christmas and New Year's, and the shows that I will be replaying, are they're going to be mostly shows in which I have worked through worksheets and then presented them to the audience. It's going to be a lot of processing that I've done specifically with using the worksheet, and most of them are, you know, by the, I certainly don't present on the internet show every worksheet I do. I wait until there's one that I have been thoroughly, deeply triggered, where I'm having a strong emotional response or a physical response. And I've done that a number of times over the years in the past, what's almost 12 years now that we've been on this show. And I've been replaying some of those. And I have been amazed at what I'm getting by revisiting those internet shows, or the audio files of the internet shows, where I was presenting worksheets that I had either just done or had done over the preceding days, or I'm not sure, but I think there's even one where I was working through a worksheet live on the air. If I can find that somewhere in the archives in the last 12 years, maybe that will be part of what gets replayed in the week this year between Christmas and New Year's. And I welcome suggestions. If you have been through the archives, if you've been with us on one of these shows somewhere in the past 12 years, and you thought either your participation was intense or what you witnessed was intense and you'd like to have it be highlighted or reviewed or explained in a different way, please let us know. Either call and raise a hand right now, or if you're listening to this in the archive, send me an email about a show that you would like to have be replayed during that week between Christmas and New Year's. You can email me at tjh@mindshifters-academy.org, or you can email Jeannie at jeannie@yagain.org. That's whyagain.org. And that would be an assist. As we've said before, our intention is to be a service, and if you can let us know what would be a service to you, it just makes it easier. It takes some of the guesswork out of it for us. Includes, you know, how would you like to spend the day today? Were you able to listen to the show yesterday with the discussion with Susan Bingham and Anne, or do you have questions of your own about the worksheet process? 563-999-3581. If you choose to call that number and press 1, I will see it on the switchboard. I'll turn on your microphone and announce you by your area code. So let us know if there's a comment or a question or a particular show from the past that you'd like us to highlight, and we'll get on with that and make that a part of the presentation that happens during the week between Christmas and New Year's this year. It is, as I mentioned yesterday, it is a powerful thing to go back, for even for me, to go back and listen to shows I've done where I was presenting my own worksheets, and it stirs things up. It's given me a few worksheets to do already. It's also given me some insights, and it's been gratifying, I would say. It's been eye-opening to realize what I knew 5 and 8 years ago and how I was presenting even the opening of the show and how I was presenting the worksheet process. I had occasion in a session right before the show today to remind somebody that I had recorded the Pierre Pratervand Gentle Art of Blessing for myself and put that on the page labeled Educational Materials on the website, mindshiftersacademy.org. So if you go to that page, you can download the 5-step mental version of the Reality Management Worksheet, which is what I use to introduce people to this process in my sessions. You can also download the PDF file of the typed out version of the forgiveness patter that I use when I'm doing a worksheet myself or when I'm coaching somebody in a session or on an internet show or in the support group. And now you can also download an audio file of me reading or reciting that patter. And now on top of that, you can download an audio file of me reading Pierre Pratervand's Blessing for Myself from his book 365 Blessings to Heal Myself and the World. And again, if you have a suggestion about something that would make it easier for you to understand or use the tools, please let us know. I can either add that on the whyagain.org website through Jeannie, or I can add it on the mindshiftersacademy.org website. And if you have a thought about it, probably a good bet that lots of other people have the same thoughts. So if you can overcome your shyness, if you can overcome your anxiety and let us know how we might be of service, it will help you and us and perhaps countless others. So there's nobody emailing or putting hand up or chatting in the chat room. I will go back to the reading of Lesson 32. This is our first time reading through it on this internet show. And we had stopped it right before the heading that reads, "The Decision to Teach Only Love." And the text reads, "Love is the most critical of themes, beloved friends. The way of knowing must be the completion of the decision to teach only love. And the only way to teach love is to be love under all circumstances. This does not mean that you paint a plastic smile on your face and never feel any emotion. That is not enlightenment. That is the height of the ego's attempt to usurp power from creation. The spiritual ego, the spiritual personality, is the last egg to be cracked. One is only awakened when one allows all things, trusts all things, and embraces all things. This is the same as saying, feels all things. For in that very moment, the very thing arising is transcended because it is not obstructed or resisted. And what is not obstructed or resisted is embraced and consumed in the spaciousness of love. Capital L love, the energy of creation. You have within yourself then all power under heaven and earth to translate the body itself from a contraction of fear to a spaciousness that reflects the reality of the Creator's love. For the very body-mind that emerged first from fear can be reopened so that the energy of truth flows through it, so that nothing arising in your experience in the emotional field obstructs the remembrance of love, capital L love. Quite frankly, the emotional field is the only place you can experience anything. All the rest are merely thoughts about things. The gap between a thought about things and the feeling nature of experiencing things is exactly the same gap that exists between illusion and heaven. It is for this reason that no idea about creation is the same as creation. No concept about love is the same as love. No philosophy about enlightenment is the same as enlightenment. Unobstructed feeling embraces all that arises and passes away. Unobstructed means without judgment. Even that which arises as fear or anger should never be judged or obstructed. That which arises as sadness or joy, that which arises as the passion of the body. All things must be opened to and embraced, or the beingness of your soul has not yet transcended the world. Love, capital L love, is the ability to be wholly, totally present with what is, devouring it like a child devours candy. Give me another bite, for this dream cannot contain me. Therefore, bring it on. Bring on anything in the flow of life. Bring on my ability to be open, completely open, through, in, as and through the experiencer of the flow of life and creation. The next section is titled Exercises to Awaken in Love. And the text reads, Beloved friends, if you would truly use this teaching of the way of knowing as the time in which you awaken into the decision to be the presence of love and nothing else, so that you can move into the rest of your experience as the enlightened Christ that you already are, then look well in each of the next 30 days. Look about, where in my life have I refrained from love? Where have I chosen behavioral patterns and decisions and choices with a smile on my face while all the time attempting to control and manipulate the world in order to keep me safe from feeling and facing my own insecurities? Where have I demanded that the world show up in a certain way so that I can pretend to have peace and pretend to be happy and loving? Anyone can be happy and loving in a candy store. anyone can be happy standing in front of a crowd when everyone is applauding you. Anyone can be happy being held by 20 friends who say they love you. But only the enlightened can be happy when those 20 friends have chosen to crucify you. Therefore, indeed, it is in your darkest moments, it is in the crumbling of the structures you have made, where you are best given the opportunity to realize the great power within you to teach only love. Yet the ego would convince you that to know love, you must set up your world so that you never experience the challenges and the insecurities of abandonment, aloneness, the not knowingness, the kind of insecurity one might feel when they know not where their next meal comes from. The attempt to create material security flows only from the egoic mind, for the enlightened mind is in complete abundance always. When I walked this world as a man and was taught by the Essenes, I and my brothers and sisters learned to practice a way of life that was also known in other cultures in ancient India. A conscious decision was made to give up all materiality and to walk literally naked in the world, owning nothing, possessing nothing, facing the stark reality of the body's perfect, now they use the word here, vulnerability, and I would say openness. And relying on the expressions of the grace and love of others. We would walk around with a begging bowl and simply say, "The body is hungry. Would you be so kind as to fill my bowl?" And then we would receive the yes or the no with the very same appreciation. Many of you hearing this have no idea what it means to be hungry. You think hunger is that temporary gnawing that occurs because you've not gone to your refrigerator in the last few hours. Go and abide in the forest with nothing to eat. Take nothing with you but perhaps some water. And abide alone, open to the elements for 3 days and three nights. Then you will know something of what it means to be an Essene, to be one who goes without any attempt to protect the body-mind from the deepest fears of its own demise. Once a rich man came unto me and asked me to teach him, and I simply replied, "Go and sell all that you have and follow me." He did not want God that much. Of course, as I have said unto you many times, it does not mean you must give away your material wealth that you have in your world. It does mean that you must give away your attachment to it. You must see that it is merely an illusion which cannot provide you the safety that you seek. For safety can come only in reclining in the heart of creation. Here's a set of quotes to bring this home. Quote, "The body-mind is not even mine. The mate is not mine. The career is not mine. The bank accounts are not mine. These things of the world cannot keep my soul safe. They cannot awaken me. Only my decision to surrender the world, to transcend the world, to abide as empty in the world. Only my decision to teach only love can awaken me to the invulnerability, to the perfect safety beyond any threat, beyond any danger, beyond the vulnerability of all created things. Even this very body-mind that I once mistakenly identified as myself." Close quotes. The truly awakened come and go as the wind. You know not whence they have come, and you know not where they are going. For they do not even know these things themselves. How can you know? But they listen to the voice for spirit. And spirit is like the whisper of the wind that says, come, go, teach, speak, refrain, leave, abstain, embrace, eat, fast, pray, dance. The one who abides in unobstructed feeling feels nature, feels the flow of nature with that which comes from the depth of a perfectly still heart and mind, and dances while knowing stillness. For the body-mind that others see is no longer inhabited by the contraction of the ego. The enlightened cannot understand. I misread that. It says, the enlightened cannot be understood. They can only be appreciated by those who are also enlightened. Who then will you choose to be this day, beloved friends? Will you choose to be one who walks in the ordinary world or one who walks in heaven side by side with their Creator? Will you walk this day in the world as one who has everything figured out? Or will you walk as one who, in perfect innocence, merely extends love and laughs and chuckles within the great illusion of the drama of this world? For this world arises and passes away in the twinkling of an eye. It is merely like dots on a screen that have created a temporary movie. Once the movie plays out, the screen remains as it always has been until the next movie comes to town. Your consciousness is like that screen. It witnesses that which arises and passes away, even within the body-mind itself. Identity with that pure screen, the pure witness, the spaciousness that is wider than all universes, that is what we are recommending. So please, choose to identify with that pure screen, the pure witness, the spaciousness that is wider than all universes. Don't identify with the lights flashing across the screen. Notice that part of you that is simply aware of what is arising, a feeling, a thought, a word, a song heard, a car crash witnessed. It does not matter. Anything arising in the field of your experience arises in the field of this spaciousness of the awareness of creation's gift to you as your very existence. For pure spirit is awareness itself, and that awareness can be fueled by the decision for love or the belief in fear. Beloved friends, if you have truly chosen to enact the way of knowing, do not waste time. Look well over the next 30 days. Look deeply at the truth of what has been running you. What are the patterns that created the choices, the reactions, the responses, the rationalizations, the great words, the great seeking, the great striving, all of it? What are the patterns that have given rise to this? Look well and perceive and know that which was birthed from fear, no matter what it looked like. For indeed, the wolf can come in sheep's clothing. Where have you been a ravenous wolf, coming in sheep's clothing with the false smiles, just in order to get another to give you what you believe you lack? Where have you refrained from love? Where have you refused to become perfectly open? They use the word vulnerable, but again, since your essence can't be hurt, I believe it's better to say, where have you been open, completely open? For it is only on the other side of the decision to be completely open that you perfect your safety. that your total safety arises. You are love. You are the energy of creation expressing in form and nothing else. In any moment that you behave, speak, or perceive yourself to be other than love, you have used the power of your awareness to decide for what would attempt to stand against the kingdom. And you are the one that has suffered for it. And you slumber in your suffering. Love, beloved friends, so many of you have read my words, hear these words, and look upon me with such great love. You look upon me and say, oh, Yeshua, he loves so perfectly. Well, of course I do, because I have come to see that there is nothing, not anything else worth doing. I know that sounds almost simplified, and yet it is the simple truth. The truth is simple. You must come in your own Christed nature to see that in perfect innocence there is not anything else to do but extend love. To love, to extend love without limits, to extend love without fear, to extend love by extending perfect freedom to all of creation to be and do what it wants to be and do. Then, and only then, can you know that nothing can betray you, nothing can hurt you, and nothing can bring anything to you of any value or take anything of value away from you. You have the infinite, perfect freedom to extend love. And in that decision, you know your Creator. And you can say quite simply with me, quote, behold, I and my Creator are one, one and the same. Now, let me give you a hug. Now, let me set you free to your experience. Now, let me watch this great movie. Now, let me enjoy this salad. Close quotes. It's all so very simple. Never identify yourself with doing, but let your doing be infused by your being. For while you are in the world, the body-mind will do things. Its very nature is action and activity itself. Just like it is the nature of a leaf in autumn to fall from a tree to the ground. Would you say, well, that shouldn't have happened. The leaf should have not had to die. It should be able to stay on that tree. It didn't have to change its colors. That's all wrong. No, you wouldn't say that. You are like a leaf on a tree, and you are already falling to the moment of your death. How much more time will you waste before you decide to break through the chains of fear held in the very tissues of your body-mind? How much longer will you wait to enjoy the dance of the fall from the branch of birth to the ground of death of the body-mind in order to experience the total freedom of the fall? For the great fall from grace, the great dream from the dream of the dream of separation must finally be embraced and lived with perfect love, obstructing nothing, knowing that the very momentary experience of the body-mind in a perfectly insane world is all right because it is illusion. To resist illusion is to insist that illusion is real. It's only in the full embrace of an illusion that the illusion dissolves before your eyes. Love sets all things free again. Over the next 30 days, do only this. Dedicate and commit each moment of each day to teaching only love. take upon yourself the commitment to discipline the mind and the heart while opening the body without obstruction. In each moment, set all beings free by being only committed to capital L love. See how much joy you can experience by being the lover of life, wanting nothing from no one, needing nothing from anyone, expressing your passion, expressing your longing, looking upon the falling leaves if they are happening in your neighborhood. Wherever you are, look upon all things and decide to just love the heck out of it. For the hell in it is only what you have projected upon it. Take back your projection and embrace it in love. For 30 days, you can do it. For 30 days, such a small time frame in one human life. Would you not give yourself permission for 30 days? This is not a difficult assignment. Anyone with any degree of intelligence and maturity can surely decide each morning for one day to teach only love and then string 30 of them together. If it is in truth the transformation of your soul that you seek, so that only Christ is present where you are, complete this one assignment. And when it is done, simply do it again and again and again and again, worlds without end. Heaven awaits you. Love awaits on your welcome. Yet that welcome is but the decision to finally embrace yourself and to live the truth that has already set you free. Love and give all things complete freedom to be and do as they will. For there is no other doorway to the perfect freedom that you have sought for, oh, such a long time. Let time end that eternity might be remembered. Only love can set you free. And indeed, with that, beloved friends, peace be unto you always. For indeed, it is dripping through the ethers of your very atmosphere, waiting for you to drink it in. Peace be with you always. Amen. That concludes our first read-through of Lesson 32, In the Way of Mastery. That is quite the challenge for the conscious logical mind and the ego. And yet, the rewards go beyond words each new heartbeat for those who are willing to step into that practice. So our call-in number is 563-999-3581. Call that number, press 1, let us know what's on your mind. I mentioned this at the beginning when there were many fewer people on the call, so I will mention again that the week between Christmas and New Year's will be a series of replays of shows, and I'm going to make as many of them as I can be shows where I have actually offered my own processing. The worksheets I've done that were so powerful, whether they were on a mental process, an emotional process, or a physical process. And I have been listening back through the archives in preparation for this, and I have been stunned, shocked, impressed, triggered, over and over again by listening back through the audio files of shows where I have presented worksheets that I've done and or other processing that I've done. And so the shows that come between Christmas and New Year's will be kind of a heavy hitters parade of either live in the internet show processing or me reporting on worksheets I've done between shows. And it's going to be a powerful series of shows. The ones I've already listened to have had me feeling a range of emotions, learning again what I learned once before, but at a deeper level, getting resonated to gratitude. So we've been at this for almost 12 years now, and there are a number of different occasions on which I was deeply triggered either by something that happened on the internet show or I was deeply triggered by something that happened in my life, and I did the worksheets and then presented them on the show. So if you have a memory of one of those shows in the past, if you're one of those people who's been with us for more than just 2 or 3 years, and there's a segment of shows, or even if you can't remember the date of the show, but you can remember something about the interaction that you'd say, I'd like to revisit this, please let me know. Give me a call, 563-999-3581, and press 1, or send me an email, tjh@mindshifters-academy.org, and assist me in compiling the shows that will be played as highlights in the week between Christmas and New Year's. That would be appreciated. And I am anxious to be able to present those shows and to get your feedback on them, because some of them are quite intense. And it's just one of the things I was talking about the past couple days about the value of the archives. I will pull them out and make them available for that week. So I'll be doing a little extra editing and legwork to track them down. And yet, they're already there. They're already in the archives. This will just make it easier and more concentrated to have them all in one place. And if it goes as planned, I'll put a separate page on the MindShiftersAcademy.org website where each of those shows will be available for review for those who aren't going to be able to be there live in that week between Christmas and New Year's. So 563-999-3581, call that number, press 1, let us know your thoughts, your comments, your questions, your answers. We've had 2 or 3 people pop in and out of the chat room, but nobody left. There's one question that reads, what kind of questions do you take? We take questions related to this work and sometimes questions that aren't related to this work. We take questions about Course in Miracles and the Way of Mastery and ancient Aramaic process of forgiveness. We take questions about EFT tapping. We take questions about the 5-step worksheet process and the 7-step worksheet process. We take questions about trauma. We take questions about all the stuff that gets presented on the On Your Mind podcast. There was one that was published this Tuesday without any fanfare, but it's an interview with one of the most prestigious people I've ever interviewed. His name is Dr. John Rosa, and he's been a surrogate advisor to more than one White House staff. And he's also the chairman of the board of the Same Here Global.org Mental Health Consortium, and that's available on the onyourmindpodcast.org or just onyourmindpodcast.org, and it's the most recent podcast interview that's available. There are over 120 of them now that have been done. And that's another free resource that I like to point people towards. That particular podcast is done to raise awareness of the Journey's Dream not-for-profit organization, which is trying to help rewrite the narrative on mental health to one in which optimal health and well-being are possible and expected. And my role as one of the board members for that nonprofit has me doing this series of interviews and podcasts. And we've interviewed people who are functional medicine psychiatrists. We've interviewed people who run treatment centers to help people through their mental health, residential treatment centers, to help people through their mental health challenges with little or no medication. We've interviewed people who have developed things like neurosculpting and ways to increase neuroplasticity and use it specifically for attention and concentration and relieving stress. And we've interviewed people who use yoga specifically for trauma management and healing. We've interviewed people who do sound immersion and gong baths and use sound for healing, emotional healing, and trauma healing. And the list goes on. And that's all available free at onyourmindpodcast.org. Feel free to check it out and call us if you've got questions. Or I haven't done this in a while, but I'm openly inviting. If you have a podcast that you love to listen to or a book you've read that you think's changed your life for the better or an inspirational speaker that you think would be a good person for me to interview either for the Mind Shifters Radio or for the On Your Mind podcast, I'm grateful for those suggestions. Again, you can email those to me at tjh@mindshifters-academy.org. And I will explore them at my earliest convenience. I have the biggest challenge in putting on something like that is coming up with really good people to interview and then getting them to agree to carving out an hour of their time to be interviewed. There's all kinds of behind-the-scenes work that has to happen, but the most challenging part of it is getting introduced to people who will actually take my call or my email, who have something of value to offer the audience, and who are willing to donate their time. So just another free resource. I had somebody that let me know that on the MindShiftersAcademy.org website, on the webpage that's been holding all of the shows this year since January 10th that are related to the Way of Mastery readings with commentary, when I had 3 days a couple weeks ago where I didn't do a live show, those shows and the recordings of them were not uploaded to that webpage. And those shows included an interview with Guy Finley and an interview with Pierre Pratervand. And the original show from sometime in February that prompted me to create a separate web page for these shows, and that was from the second lesson of the Way of Mastery. So as time allows, I will go back and correct that decision because it's been asked. So there'll be a flow of chronological dates that includes the shows that were done even as replays. So a call-in number again is 563-999-3581. We've got about 10 minutes left. I am asking for suggestions. I am hoping that there's some willingness there to assist me in deciding which which of the shows might be of most interest to you to hear again in a series of replays coming up between Christmas and New Year's. One of the ones I was listening to last night and again this morning had to do with a powerful series of realizations I had back in March of 2019, just after I had launched the MindShiftersAcademy.org website and tried to put on a big push for expanding exposure to the MindShifters support groups and the MindShifter radio and all the work that Dr. Michael and Jeannie Rice do to make these tools available for free. And it turned into a major life lesson of the unwanted kind. You know, it's like Guy Finley says, the lessons we need in life ride into our lives on the back of events we don't want. And he says the value and the importance of the lesson for us in a moment that comes that we don't want, the importance of it, the value of it is directly proportional to how much we don't want the event. So the more I don't like what just happened, the bigger and the more important life event there is in that event for me. Whether it's the death of a loved one or being ripped off for $30,000 or a car accident or a sprained ankle, the degree to which I don't want this event is directly proportional to how important that life lesson is that rides in on the back of that event. And there have been some big ones in the past 12 years that I've been, you know, the first eight supporting Michael and Jeannie for the 1 hour a day MindShifters radio, and now for the last almost 4 years doing a separate hour. There have been some big life events that had whatever they had that generated in me the thought, I really don't want this. This is not what I want or what I like or what I would plan for. There have been some biggies. And so we'll do our best to gather up those shows where I was presenting the worksheets that I did in response to those life events and the interpretations I placed on them and the negative emotions and even the physical traumas that I generated in response to those events and present them during the week between Christmas and New Year's. All with the theme from Guy Finley that says, the lessons we need to learn in life ride into our lives on the back of events that we don't want. And the strength with which we resist and push away and cry and whine and scream and throw a tantrum that we don't like this and we don't want that is directly proportional to how important, how valuable the lesson is that's riding in on the back of that event. The more I don't want something to happen, the bigger the life lesson, the more important life lesson there is in it for me. Because, as we were just reading in The Way of Mastery, the only way to transcend something is to embrace it, allow it, trust it, love it, extend love to it, maintain your connection to your awareness of your true safety and your true nature and your peace in the face of it. That's the only way to transcend it. And I have been sorely challenged a number of times in the last 12 years to remember that in the middle of some very intense life events. And it has been the willingness to engage the tools and keep my breath moving and release my attachment to my need to be right and use the worksheet process that has yielded phenomenally good results for me, which is why we present these tools, which is why we donate our time to supporting others in learning and then remaining perpetually avid students of these tools. And we want to support you in either learning about the tools and or gaining proficiency in applying them in your life. I'm not sure I mentioned it, but soon, I think it will be the beginning of the new year, on the first Tuesday of the new year, I believe there'll be another release of a new interview I did with Brad Yates, who's well-known for his tapping videos on YouTube. He has well over 1 million views. He's got over 1,000 videos that he's posted. And it's a resource that I routinely recommend to my patients and to people in the support group because he's very solid. He stays very close to what he learned from the person that developed that technique. He has a background in hypnosis as well, so he combines those two. And it's a wonderful free resource for anybody who has access to the internet to go there, go to YouTube, type in Brad Yates, type in Brad Yates, how to tap, and there's a 5 or 7 minute video where he describes the process to you. And then you can go in the search bar and type in any issue or interest you have. Back pain, rage, anxiety, depression, insecurity, and he'll probably have one or more videos that you can play the video and tap along with him. Keep your breath moving and just repeat what he's saying, and he'll coach you through using the emotional freedom technique, EFT tapping, as an acupressure treatment to help you release energy that may be stuck in you related to any physical, mental, or emotional discomfort you may be experiencing. There's already an interview available at the onyourmindpodcast.org. If you go there and hit the search bar and type in Brad Yates, you can see the original interview I did with him over a year ago now, maybe a year and a half ago. So that's our offering for today. Please feel free to email me if you've got thoughts about what shows you'd like to hear replayed. And I'll remind us all that we come from love. We're made of the stuff we call love. We actually are love, and everything else is false. And I will hopefully welcome Jeannie Rice and turn on her microphone.
I have it turned on. Hold on. There we go. Thank you, Dr. Tim. Appreciate you. Hope you have a good
weekend. You're welcome and deserving. You too. Blessings.
Thanks. So welcome, everybody, to Mind Shifters Radio, the second hour. Today is Friday, December the 16th, 2022. And our call-in number is 563-999-3581. And press 1, and that puts you in the queue to talk to us. We'd love to hear your comments and questions because that makes this your show. We'll give Michael a moment to get dialed in. I'll invite you to go to our website, which is whyagain.org. And if you click on the Start Here button, that's where you will find, let me do it as I'm talking. So if you click on Start Here, the first thing you're going to see is two new videos that we have created. One of them will help you navigate the website, The other one will help you navigate the app. And if you scroll down, you'll see the PowerPoint, the posters, stress management. And then if you go on down, there's one that says special MP3s on wake-up sheets. There are also different shows that have just added to, not necessarily walking someone through a wake-up sheet, but has been very beneficial. And Susan had asked that we did one, and so I put that out there yesterday, and that is the one on activism. I'll also be adding out the special shows where Michael talked about emotions. And so far we've got three of those. So those will be on that special page as well. So I'll be getting that out pretty soon. I've got an appointment with the lady who does our website on her domain, and she's helping me to complete the changes in the shop. And so that'll be out there hopefully before Monday. I think we're going to get together either tomorrow or Sunday and complete that. And if you also go to our website and you click on Heartland, the first thing on there will be the maintenance fundraiser. And so if you click it, then you'll get the information about what we're doing, that we're needing, you know, some work done on a building at Heartland, and, you know, taxes are due, and we could use some assistance since we're not traveling. And so there are three different ways listed that you can help support us in that. And one of them is through the new shop. Okay, baby, I'll be right there. One of them is purchasing things on the new shop, and we're running a special of $25 for each CD or DVD. That's a $40 value. Flat rate shipping of $8, no matter how many you buy. And the ones that you purchase, the DVDs that have streaming, you'll get that streaming component for free. So that's one way you can support us, and you'll be getting something back on that as well. A second way is just making a straight-out donation without purchasing anything. Those donations are tax-deductible. Purchases are not, so that you know the difference there. And then a third way, we talked about this yesterday, go to our YouTube channel. There is a way that YouTube will monetize us, but we have to meet their criteria. And one of the ways is we have to have at least 1,000 subscribers. Right now we have 963, so we're really close. And while we have had over 47,000 views on our channel, many of them are, you know, three-minute views, or somebody clicks on one and then doesn't watch it all the way through and clicks off of it. We have to have at least 4,000 hours of view time. So if you could – she's just screaming at me here. So, Michael, I'm going to turn it over to you, and I'm going to go take care of this child. Michael, are you there?
I am here. Yes, ma'am. Thank you, dear heart. Welcome, everybody. I got a call while you were making the announcement, so I'm not sure what all you spoke about. You were talking, honey, about the different ways people could jump in and support us. I don't know if you mentioned the purchase of the codependence to interdependence intensive, 90 hours of video work. That's really powerful. And we did get a response from our call yesterday, and one young lady who's really in appreciation of the work, been doing it for about, 12, 15 years, something like that, just donated $1,000, a quarter of the cost of doing the new roof on the building at Heartland. So that's where that one's going. So thank you, thank you, thank you. And everybody, we are delighted and honored that we get to be here and have this conversation with you every day, or at least 5 days a week. And there's a gentleman that's supposed to call in. I had a conversation with him this morning, and he went into a mega healing crisis. And I asked him if he would call in and share some of that, just to inspire people, to assist people to move into willingness and to assist in building the brain cells for really recognizing the work that needs to be done and how to do it. And we've talked a lot over the years about this idea of building brain cells. And a new insight came in my conversation with him, or it was something that was kind of developing, and it gelled in my conversation with him. Is, you know, you go back and hear Yeshua saying, in order to understand and use his work, you've got to have the eyes to see and the ears to hear. And that means I would offer. It doesn't mean physical eyes and ears. I think most everybody had what they called physical eyes and ears. But you had to have the brain cells to comprehend what was being taught. Your brain had to have the information in order to generate a picture to match, in order to generate a behavior prompt to match what was being referred to in that teaching. And what's developing for me, the insight that's coming now that's just kind of refines things and takes it to another level, is that if you've ever, let's say somebody presented you a picture, you were online and you went and there's a picture and you look at the picture and you look at the picture and you look at the picture and you say, I can't make sense of that. What does that mean? That means that you don't have the brain cells, you don't have the information stored in carbon-based memory to tell you a story or generate a construct in your mind that makes that particular thing meaningful. You have no way to recognize its meaning, its utility, or what to do with it. If you don't have the brain cells to recognize, it's pretty hard to do anything with it. And then you'll remember, we're going to tie a couple things together. You'll remember the idea of carbon-based memory, that if we were to take this so-called, people say, well, where is all this stuff stored? If you were to take your body into a science lab and say, here, take some of this and tell me what it's made of, basically what they tell you is that your structure is made of carbon. The base element in your structure is carbon. And so we talk about the fact that this body-mind unit, this energy system, stores information in this element that we call carbon, carbon-based memory. And everything that's stored in carbon obviously has to be from the past. So when you've got the brain cells for something, you've got information stored in carbon-based memory from the past about a thing, then the brain generates an image, a picture, a construct out of its past. So now here you are experiencing something from the past, although the mind tells you that it's present. The mind actually substitutes, or we accept the substitution of this construct from the mind, from the past, in place of the direct experience of actuality, of what's going on in the actual world. And unfortunately, that's the limit of what we call the human mind. It really isn't a mind at all. It's really just a storage device, which cannot, break down this word, recognize, recognize, can't redo something done on a previous occasion. And when you look at that picture and you start to cognize it, you start to get some sense of what it is, then the next time you look and you go, oh, I remember what that is, and you recognize. So redoing something from the past. But what I'm really realizing is that by entering into the practice, and I'm not sure yet what to call it, because when the mind serves something from the past, of course, we're being blocked into the past. There is a level of our existence and experience that can directly experience the present moment. Now, that the word we've been using to describe that pretty regularly is being. It's been called the soul. It's another level of awareness that can actually experience a present moment experience. And so I'm working on, and maybe somebody will have some suggestions of how to title that, what to call it. There's a part of me that goes, well, we could call it soul brain cells. We've got carbon-based memory brain cells and soul brain cells. And that's a little bit awkward, but that might be, so far that's about all I've come up with. Somebody might have a better suggestion, but building brain cells in what was called the Christ mind, the mind of Christ, rather than the body's mind. And as I was talking to this gentleman this morning, that's hopefully going to be on the line or probably already is, what I realized is, and this is a man that I started to work with, 45 years ago. And he had an opening experience yesterday, a healing crisis that was just mega major and probably not unlike things that he's had before, but because of the work he's done, had the soul brain cells to recognize or to cognize, to become conscious of what was going on. Many people go into healing processes in what we call a healing crisis, where the dissociated energy loosens up, starts to move out of the structure. And it's kind of like, for most people, it's kind of like the person looking at that picture that they just can't make any sense. Like, what is that? I don't even know what to call it. They look and they go, what is that? I don't even have a guess. I have no idea what that's a picture of. No brain cells. Until one steps in and does the work of healing, there are no soul brain cells to experience, to understand what's going on. So they just go, I don't know, I had a terrible day yesterday. I had this horrible stuff going on. I don't know what it was. I kind of had pain in my body, but I don't know what it was. I guess I could guess, but... And in talking with this gentleman this morning, it was like, so here's the fruit of your labor. You've heard me say before that it takes the average person who starts to do this work and does it in earnest, it takes them 5 to 10 years to start to build the brain cells for really understanding what's going on. And that, you'll note, every time I've ever said that, it's to start to build the brain cells. Well, what this gentleman shared with me this morning was an advanced stage of having the brain cells for what was happening. And so let's say hello. Jeannie, is Patrick there?
No, he's not.
Oh. Well, he was going to join us. Tell you what. Give me just one second here. If you could maybe share something for a second, I'm going to give him a quick call.
Oh, Michael?
Yes.
Oh, he just raised his hand. He just popped
great.
In.
Let's say hello.
Hello, Patrick.
Hello. Can you hear me?
Hey there, young man.
Hi, how are you?
We're good. You could maybe get a little closer to your phone. Your voice is a little bit soft.
How about now?
Not great, but we can hear you.
All right. I'm driving, so I'll just pull over. Maybe the road noise is included or something. Can you hear me now? I mean, I'm speaking right in the speaker.
Yeah. Well, let's go for it. You don't have a headset, do you?
What I've got is hearing aids in my ears are listening in, and then driving down the road, and the mic to you is 3 inches in front of me. So I'm just going to pull over and switch everything as soon as I have.
Okay, cool. So if you haven't, Patrick's doing that, I'll just share that if you haven't met Patrick before, Patrick was one of the first people I met when I moved to Atlanta. He was a massage therapist. He was the first massage therapist I ever worked with, and I've worked with him continuously for the last 45 years or so. He's a naturopath and a very powerful healer, and definitely has been a big part of my journey in healing. When we met, I was on a healing path, but a different direction than what Patrick had done. When he first started to put his hands on my back and neck, he would almost cry with pain in his hands because my back was like a board, was like a rock. I lived with back pain for decades until I started to open and deal with what was going on within my structure. And so in our conversation this morning, Patrick called me, rather excited about a healing crisis that he'd gone into and what he was recognizing about it. So we ended up with a conversation, and he decided to call on the show and share that with us. So we'll be looking forward to hearing what Patrick has to say.
Question, can you hear me better now?
You're better.
Hello. Way better?
Not way better, but better.
I don't know what's going on. But anyway, I switched.
Go for it.
Is it good enough for to go ahead?
Yes. Yeah, we're good.
Okay.
We're good.
So, quickly over the years, as I've done forgiveness, I've entered into the emotion, or the emotion comes up, some negative emotion due to one of my judgments, and then I start the process of forgiveness. And then I always come up with, you know, different ideas or different perspectives on changing my perspective. So I put in, well, it's just a change of perspective. I have a negative perspective. Let me change my viewpoint and or release the viewpoint that I'm holding on to that's creating this problem. And I keep doing different things. And so finally, one of the things my wife said to a client was, you need to sit with the emotions. And she had been numb and not felt anything. She had it, you know, quite sealed off, and then she was starting to bring things up. So I had that, and I had another thing that I saw online about surfing the emotions, surfing the feelings, and that was different because normally I come up with them and then I work my way back out of them. But it said that, let's say you, they had a test for cigarettes and for overeaters, which I am. That's my main expression. Or I am not that anymore. Let's say I have been, okay? And the results with on tests were the people that had this ability to just breathe, go ahead and feel the feeling, whatever it was, physical or emotional or both, and then just breathe knowing that it would let go in a period of time while you're just knowing that it will, and breathing and paying attention to the feeling. But most of the time, I mean, what I do and what most of us probably do is start the feeling and then do something, change your head, change what you're doing, something to suppress it because we don't like it. So,
right.
So it worked real well for 2 days while I was facing my cravings for food, you know, that were basically made by suppression, desire to suppress a negative emotion. And then when I was listening to you yesterday on a program, and I had also come up, so you were talking about willingness to grease, and I think that was a trigger that I had also come up with about 2 weeks ago, that I would just not decide on where I was going, but I would state, I'm willing to release this pattern, just willing, that's holding, you know, this weight, whatever, or this emotion or whatever's negative in my life that I'm creating. So in that willingness, the first thing that happened was that every person that I had judged to not, I didn't like their voice tone, I didn't like their teaching, something, so I didn't look at them for 30 years, 40 years, 10 years, whatever. All of a sudden, just through this willingness, they'd pop up on the screen and I'd be willing to listen to, and I'd get clues, and I'd get a change, get something else, something new. And then finally, the two together last night, with this willingness to release a pattern, had some disruptions with my dog wanting to walk around the night and put him back in bed. And finally, I get to sleep, and I've done my solar plexus, and I'm semi-asleep, and in my solar plexus area, I felt fear. Like, I can't remember in my entire life, I hadn't felt fear probably 40 years on a visceral or chakra energy level, but I felt both. I could feel it about 3 inches outside me. It was about 4 or 5 inches wide, and it torqued into my solar plexus, and it was extreme, I mean, intense. But instead of being in it or trying to figure it, I just surfed it, just stayed and breathed and allowed. And then finally that would be finished. I'd go back to sleep and it would come back again. And I'd come into semi-awake and observe, just surfing, just observe. So this is like probably, maybe I've done it by accident previously, but it was like my first time to observe without engaging at all. So I didn't, you know, then it happened again, and then it was in my heart chakra. And they were all really intense. I mean, phenomenal intense. And then I could remember back where maybe when I was 19 or 18, somewhere in there I had some similar feelings, but I'd cut them off since probably 19 to 21 years old. So, I mean, we're talking 50-plus years. I had only hardened myself against those kind of feelings and wasn't willing to accept them, except for I knew that, you know, if I was fierce, that I behind that is fear. You know, I knew I had fear, but I hadn't experienced it. Like, whoa, now I'm experiencing it on its way out. And today, around my head, it feels like, because I was talking to you this morning, I didn't know. I wasn't even really awake from all this wakeful night. But I didn't know, and then I observed my energy field, and my cranium is just connected to everything, like way in every direction. Kind of like a nice, soft connection to everything. I don't know. It's nice. I like it.
Nice.
And peaceful.
Well, it sounds like awareness on a physiological level opened in a new way.
Yeah, and I'm feeling in the past 3 months, I've smashed my shins about 3 times and even disrupted bone-level shin. And I was wondering why was I so hardened and running into things down there or running into steel. And then all of a sudden after last night, all that area, I can feel it soften about half inch to 3/4 inch into the flesh, all through the lower legs, shin area, legs, thighs. It's amazing. It's all like, and let's see, we're always trying to deal with the public. We say we had a toxic release of about what would take 5 days worth of releases this morning. Nicest way I could say it.
You're talking about bowel function now.
Yeah. I'm not
awesome.
I didn't weigh myself, but I will when I get home, see if there's a big change
right
over what it was a few days ago.
Well,
but the body,
and as I said to you when we were talking, right, what it sounds like you did was you touched into some early childhood. You had mentioned your dad and, you know, feelings from 50 years ago.
Oh, yeah.
And it sounds like what you did is you decrusted, that you let loose of some of the congested blood flow and lymphatic flow from that long ago that physiologically let loose and was able to be picked up by the lymphatic system and, of course, delivered to the bowel for release. That's, I mean, that's just an awesome level of working to get the kind of, you know, I mean, it's a topic a lot of people don't want to talk about, but the fact is elimination is really important, and understanding what excess elimination means in terms of healing, and to have a bowel movement that's 4 to 5 times what you would normally have, that's a major, major opening. And I can certainly relate to that visceral fear. I can think back to about maybe 8 times in my doing my work over the years where, I mean, it was just like a bolt of terror moved up from the core of my spine and my gut, and, you know, moving through those layers, it's pretty intense.
I had some new realizations when you brought up my dad, and when I was trying to analyze what was all this fear, I would say it was an accumulation of fear of 50 years worth or more. But I knew that it didn't all come from my dad's death, but it did start there. I realize that now. So it was like when he died and I had to go in and, you know, see him and all that kind of stuff. And I freaked out so bad over the experience that on the funeral, I couldn't talk to anybody, and I never cried again for 21 years until I took a body-mind workshop and held my eye open for about 4 or 5 minutes until a tear came out. And then a lot of emotion came with it instantaneously. In that time, it's like I just became, my personality has developed around becoming tough. So I became what we call a hard shell. So I became very tight, but very hard. So I could feel no pain, like in kung fu or martial arts or anything. I was the guy they used for demos because I didn't feel it. like, okay. But now, along with the use of the Avacyn, that was the first thing that started making me, or assisting, because forgiveness has become a way of life, and the Avacyn made it a lot easier to process things. But once I started using it, I became more flexible and softer. But right now, when I'm tuning in on what we got done last night, is that whole first layer of hardness, the hard shell, was at the exterior, and was, and that we're talking, you know, hey, a half inch in, 3/4 inch of my body is softened, and that's where all that junk came out of me from, I'm sure. It's like probably everywhere. But also, while I'm talking, when I thought back to my father's death and me going in and having to do some things for my mom around that, it totally flipped me out. Yeah, I felt for the first time something going on in the tantien, in my center below my navel, that goes back to the sacrum.
Right.
I've never been able to feel much at all, even though I've done martial arts and Tai. I've done 9 years of Tai Chi straight and 9 years of Kung Fu straight, and I moved through there, but I never felt internally. And now I can feel it. I can feel it. It's like 10 times more than I've ever been able to feel it. It's just alive. Very amazing. So, yeah.
And that would be the restoration of blood flow to the parasympathetic nervous system. Once you were able to, my take would be, once you're able to crack the congestion from being in chronic sympathetic dominance, then with blood flow moving to the thrive, digest, regenerate part of the structure, you're feeling things that before there was no energy flow there. There was no blood flow or very little to empower you to feel it. So that's like mega, mega physiological shift. Just awesome work. And, you know, the acknowledgement I wanted to give you was that, you know, you started to do this work back 45 years ago, something like that, shortly
right.
after we met. And you've stuck with it, and you've developed the soul brain cells to recognize and decode what's in the structure. And when we live in a way, go ahead.
Oh, I just said I lost you, but you came back. Thank you. Go ahead.
Okay. So when we live in a way that we dissociate from that kind of content, we lose the ability to recognize the energy patterns that are in our own tissue structure, the damage they're doing, and those energy patterns become the things that draw to us experiences, literally through resonance, that draw experiences in. And when we can open the space to just allow it to come up and process, it's like we're no longer pushing that energy out into the world, inviting somebody to come and kick us there. So that's it'll be interesting to see what kind of changes happen in the world around you from this, Patrick.
Yeah, I think it's going to be pretty amazing. Feels amazing so far.
But just the ability to go in there, I mean, you've been going in there for years and working on it, but to really be able to take a hold of the energy and decode it, that's the product or the gift from years of doing your work. And a lot of people don't want to spend those years. They want the result, but they don't want to do what it takes. So it's kind of like somebody who says, well, you know, I want to be the world weightlifting championship winner next year. So I'm going to go find somebody and hire them to go into the gym for me every day for the next year, and then I'll go win the championship. It's like, good luck. Or the person says, well, I want to be the top criminal lawyer in the world, but I don't want to go to law school. I just want to be the top criminal lawyer in the world. Or I want to be the best computer technician going, but I don't want to do all those certification courses and go to school and have to work on. I just want the result. And when you realize, you know, you look at different fields, people think nothing of, well, I'm going to go to school. I'm going to spend tens of thousands of dollars, and I'm going to go to school for 5 years, 10 years, 12 years to get into the really professional level of education, and I'm going to develop the skill and the ability to do a particular thing. And it's interesting how many people look at the question of the ages, healing oneself, longevity, well-being, aliveness, joy, creativity. I want all those things. Well, yeah, I want them, but I'm too busy. I have a job. I don't want to have to work for that. Just deliver it to me. Just give it to me. And most people, sadly, won't do the work that it takes. But to get to the point that you're describing, I mean, that's the equivalent of a double PhD in self-healing. And, you know, you've been working at it for 50 years. And that's what it takes. And I recognize, you know, in myself that, you know, the last 2 to 3 years, I've done the deepest and most important work of all the years I've been working in this healing field. And, you know, it's a result of I keep working on it, keep learning, keep developing those soul brain cells so that when I touch into a layer, I can decode what's there and be with it. And so it's just really awesome to hear the level of work that you went through and did last night and the insight you're getting from it. It's like just monumental.
Yeah. I'm thinking, I'm always looking for ways to make it easier and faster for others instead of going through a long, arduous process, which I know many of us
right.
will or have to. But at the same time, I can give a clue maybe. Now, all the time up till I started, well, I've always, you know, done breath work of different kinds, and it's been key factor in any time I'm processing, so to breathe through it. But once I got this concept a little bit different on surfing through the feelings, paying attention to them, I think at that point, for
right.
some reason, I became the observer and who I really am, aside from my body-mind vehicle that I'm here to experience and enjoy and, you know, correct and take out of its hell zones and into the heaven zones. But the real me is the observer that was observing detached, you know, to a very high degree of the intensity of the experience last night. So before, I think what made it hard was I was identified with the guy who has all the horrible emotions that he doesn't want to feel and would have to engage them first and then work my way out of them. But I hated doing worksheets always because they kept me longer in the pain of it. And I hate the pain of it. And my wife channeled one time that it doesn't have to be painful. So why? It seemed to me that last night it was. There was plenty of pain in my body and plenty of I could judge it as that. It was intense, I'll say that. And it would normally think
right.
it was intense pain. But it didn't seem like pain. It just seemed like extreme intensity. And it did wear me out after about the fourth or fifth time. My body said, that's all you can handle, Patrick. Like, okay. But I think that that idea of surfing emotion and just breathing might help somebody to get to that more observation level instead of engaging in the hell. Of
right. The thinker apart from the thought, the feeler apart from the feelings.
Yeah,
type thing.
I don't think I ever experienced it like that to that degree. I've been the thinker part. I think I've been in the thought and then worked my way back out towards the thinker previously.
Right. Yeah, to step back from all that's really key, and the whole process of being able to embrace what's there. I think that the intense pain comes from the fact that there's been an energy doing damage in tissue, and we've covered it up, you know, stiffened ourselves against it, shut down our unconscious dynamics. And then if we start to open it, and we open it very slowly, and when it starts to move, there's resistance. The pain comes from the friction of the resistance. When I step into it with willingness, well, yeah, there's intensity there, but the intensity isn't necessarily pain. The pain comes from the definition my mind gives it and the desire not to feel and resist and push against it, which creates, you know, a good metaphor for it would be a kind of friction in the tissue that hurts. But when you're just there to embrace it, it's like it can be gone in a second with willingness. Without willingness, the same thing might take years to work through.
I think willingness was the key factor. But when I think back on willingness, the knowledge from your explanation on naturopathic, what comes up and what it feels like on its way out, and knowing in the past that I was, you know, like totaled and dying and was going to lose my feet and this and that and the other and be in a wheelchair, not live long. When I looked at that versus let me do a detox and deliberately create a detox and get both emotional and physical, get this out of me, and then I come to life. So I go through a short period of time, and it's worth the investment. It's like kind of somebody said from Baha'i faith, they said sacrifice, in their opinion, is not sacrifice. It is investment. So the investment in going through, it's well worth it. So that's where I started being willing to go through it. And now it just gets easier and easier and easier. And knowing, I think on a logical level, knowing that if you keep this, it's killing you. If you keep this, you're dying. It's killing you. So why do you want to keep that? You know, let's go through something a little short and get rid of it. So quicker the better for me, but it made me willing to go through a lot. And I remember one of the ones where I judged this fella for selling my wife's machine. He was a shyster with no feeling whatsoever for anybody. He did it to a lot of women. They had no money left over, no refrigerators, no stoves at work. But he basically bought broken machines and resold them by just cleaning them. And then he maybe or maybe not sent somebody out to fix them, usually not. But he made his money, made his living. And boy, did he bring up some stuff for me. It took about 6 months to really work out my judgments of him and release and love him as he is. You know? And then I grew out of it, oak tree, because always the other thing I do is always find the good in whatever's bad. Also, I laugh at whatever's bad. I laugh a lot. But then when I finished having compassion and forgiveness within me of my judgments of him, then my wife and I got the best bond in our entire relationship of talking together on all things that were major decisions and now minor decisions. So we worked into a relationship, that's about 2 years ago, that became phenomenal, like the big oak tree covering us from what was wrong, supposedly wrong, but it was right. It was right if you take advantage of it. But I took advantage of it, and now our relationship just keeps growing more beautiful, more unified, better, better all the time. So that's
so what I hear you saying.
Find the good.
Yeah, what I hear you saying is.
So cool. Yes, go ahead.
When you go to your relationship with unresolved trauma, then there's seems to be a lot of trauma in the relationship, but it's really trauma in your physiology. And as you work through the trauma in your physiology, there's no trauma in the relationship because relationships are not traumatic, period. It's the content in our minds about relationships that become traumatic. And I want to mention that, you know, you talked about what you heard me talking about last night that opened the space for you. And Jeannie, I just sent you a link in case you don't have them handy to the files, the three shows we did on healing crisis. And we were actually on an Avison meeting last night, and I was doing a review of the whole healing process for the group. And so if somebody wants to touch into that, that was what was the trigger for willingness for Patrick, is realizing that willingness is the cosmic grease that opens the ability to access and process through those things. So you might want to put those in the notes, sweetie, and then people have access if they want to go through the whole process of what healing looks like. Why do we call it healing crisis? And it's because crisis from the past that's been hidden and suppressed, dissociated from, in order to resolve it, has to come up. And, you know, we have to look it in the face. We have to embrace it, have to deal with it. And being able to step back and be that observer is really a big part in the process too. Is that fit for you, Patrick?
Something about the Avison and what that did last night. Just
please.
Thought about that. Two things. Number one, just getting the Avison. That's what I did my initial I don't know, 2-3 years ago when I got it, I laid back in an easy chair so I wouldn't be, you know, I'd assist gravity to not have gravity go down into my feet so the blood would flow easier. And then I'd put myself in a sleeping bag, and then I'd eat all the, you know, great food of raw food. And I just did 3 months of detox and totally changed. But then along the way, what I knew about the sympathetic, if you're in it, and if I check my breathing, or anybody who I've ever worked with on it, if you check your breathing and it's tight, or it's, you know, just see where it's at. Maybe you don't think it's tight, but then when you finish about 7 or 8 minutes on the Avacyn, if it is tight, it's going to open up, and then relaxation is coming, tremendous amount. So you're moving into that parasympathetic healing state. And last night when I finished, and I was pretty much totaled around 4 o'clock physiologically, and I didn't think I could get back to sleep, and I thought, well, maybe that's no help. So I went out and I did it. The next thing I knew, I was asleep, sitting in the easy chair and breathing easy, and my whole body felt better. So I think if somebody wants a good healing tool assistance, it's a really good idea to have one. That's what I know. Oh, the other thing was is that for those who are, you know, beta, 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 go, 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 Zoom all the time, and like for me, I couldn't, even though I knew how to meditate, would meditate because I desired intensity instead or something. But people that are leading very intense lives and don't meditate or can't or whatever, and they can't relax, and then the Avacyn will give them that 15 minutes twice a day or more of relaxation, and it's meditation. And it gets the body mind used to being relaxed, used to being in parasympathetic, instead of freaked out or stressed out. So as it gets used to it, starts preferring, and it can develop the habit patterns in that direction and be more willing to go and desirous of going in that direction. If I tried my meditation over the years, it didn't work. But with the Avacyn, or combined with the Avacyn, it worked. And that's all I have to say.
Yeah. Now, if people remember back years ago, there was a heart specialist named Dr. Herbert Benson, and he came out with a book called The Relaxation Response, which basically promoted meditation to basically as a way to move from sympathetic dominance, fear, fight, fright, or fawning, to move from that sympathetic dominant state to parasympathetic, where circulation opens and higher brain faculties kick in, healing kicks in, reproduction kicks in, elimination, digestion. It's called the rest digest phase. And a lot of people tried that, but their minds were so busy and they were so compulsive that they just couldn't produce that result. And that's the beauty of the Avacyn, is you can put your hand in it for 15 minutes and it takes you to that state by putting heat into the bloodstream and relaxing the uptight capillary sphincters, the muscle fibers at the head of the 40 to 60 billion capillaries in the body. And it physiologically induces that relaxation response, which just changes everything. It's like I've come to understand it as, first of all, physiological forgiveness, and one of the most powerful supports on an energetic level that there is on the planet to healing. It's just, you know, it's beyond comprehension.
And heat. I like it.
Yeah, I think back over the last 2 years that I've had it, and there's been so many high points where what I would call symptoms of aging or symptoms of injuries that I've had, I've got my hand in the device, and all of a sudden, it's just like, bingo. I mean, that's just gone. It just shifts in that instant, and it's pretty amazing, for sure. Well, any other thoughts about your awesome all-night healing crisis, Patrick?
Let me think. I don't know that I'm thinking. Everything just looked, I've just stepped out of the car and looked around the skyline. It's not like I'm looking at the skyline or the sky. It's like I'm somehow connected to it all the way through out there as far as I can go. Kind of weird. But that's about it. That's all I can tell you.
Nice. Nice. Awesome. Well, we'll take this show and we'll put it in with the ones we did on healing crisis. You know, that conversation was probably, what, a year and a half, 2 years ago that we were talking on the show about healing crisis. And this just kind of like is the la creme de la creme that we'll have to separate out and put into that package. And while I'm mentioning that, just a huge thank you to Jeannie for the skills that she has to do stuff like that, to take a show and clip it and paste it in and put it together. It's just awesome. So thank you, sweetie.
Yay, Jeannie, you're amazing. We thank you. We thank you.
Yay. And I'm not sure she's listening right now. I can hear her talking to Aria in the other room. So I'll make sure to deliver that message to her in person if she didn't catch it.
Okay.
Well, my friend, it's been a say again?
I was just saying goodbye, but you're saying goodbye, so go ahead.
Okay. Well, I was just saying it's just awesome to be traveling this road of healing with you the last 45 or so years, and all of the aspects of healing from the school that we did way back when, just everything we've done along the road, and you've been such a deep and dear friend. I really appreciate you, cherish you a lot.
I'm overwhelmed in my response to you. I can't say it all. thank you for being you.
No, I wish you weren't all the way down there in Sarasota, Florida, while we're all the way up here in Bristol, Virginia, where next week it's going down to 7 degrees. I think it's Tuesday night. It's supposed to go to 7.
For the light wind. When are you going to visit down here? It's nice.
Yeah, I don't know what, you know, Aria's in school now, so...
Aria.
You know, we just can't
that.
Get too far away. You know, we've got
right.
her 2 to 3 days a week, and she's just become such a delight in our lives, and our support of her is just one of the biggest commitments we have. So.
Can't beat it.
And that's just becoming more delightful by the day. Now, our conversation at this point is... about her remembering and recognizing, you know, she understands that the mind generates its constructs, generates perception at 4. She understands that. And our conversation at this point is about her remembering and still being able to tune into the light and the love that's underneath and fuels the world and fuels perception. I mean, she's got that, you know, it's just like, it's so delightful to be part of that process with her. It's
that's beautiful.
How different would your life or my life have been if at 4 we'd have had the understanding that Aria has? So I look forward to seeing what she does in the world. It's going to be fun. It's going to be fun.
Yeah. All right.
All right, my friend.
Yeah,
you have a blessed one.
Thank you. Thank you.
All right. Thanks.
Don't forget.
Thanks for calling in.
Put your finger in here. Bye-bye.
All right.
All right.
Bye.
Lots of love. Bye-bye.
We do have another hand up.
Awesome.
It is 904. Dusty, welcome.
Yes, hi. Well, I thought I'd make it 3 of a kind, Patrick and Michael.
Are you still with us, Patrick? Dusty used to hang out with us way back 45 years ago in Atlanta. So I don't know. Is Patrick still there, Jeannie?
I just turned his microphone back on.
Oh, good. Sweet. So Dusty's with us, Patrick.
I heard his voice. Good. Way to push buttons, Jeannie. You got him just in time. Yeah, I've known these two hooligans for a long time, and it's been an honor, actually. And I wanted to weigh in. I know we're getting close to the end, but Also on the Avacyn, it makes a difference. I find myself having to meditate every about sundown. And as I'm finishing up, I put my hand in the Avacyn for a while. And it does make a big difference. It's subtle, but it is powerful. And I want to thank both of you, Patrick, for coming up with it, and Michael, for your awesome help in facilitating that I get one. And it's very much appreciated, just like both of you. And I'm just tickled. My gosh, here's a moment in time and space for all. There's the three of us right here, right now.
Yay. All right.
And I do love it. And Michael, I mentioned a while back I was having a little trouble with the Avacyn. I worked through that. And just like any other piece of electronics, if you're having a little bit of sketchy stuff, you power it down, unplug it, plug it back in, boom, no more problems, hopefully. And that's pretty much
That's computers and everything else. If you unplug it and repower it, you know, 90% of problems go away.
Yeah, exactly. And when I had a repair facility, I bet there was 25% of everything that came to the door, that's all it needed. And also I find that putting my hand in, you know, just the perfect angle and keeping it steady helps. So at any rate, that's a wonderful thing. And I don't know, I don't really I've got all kinds of stuff going on, but no time to really get into it, except to say that every day I find myself in some way reinventing a part of me, even if it's sort of the same thing in a slightly different way. It's that expression from Dylan, that which isn't busy being born is busy dying.
Right.
So, yeah. So, I see that that's part of a huge, in my perception, a huge part of this program we've got, Michael, where you're trying to keep everybody, keep them born.
Just return. You
know? Well, it's pretty amazing that, you know, Patrick, maybe you could mute.
Okay.
It's pretty amazing that, you know, between the three of us, it's been almost a half a century of hanging out in this work of healing and living life. It's pretty awesome. I appreciate both of you guys.
Yeah, no kidding. And I bet if we actually I couldn't even begin to do a chain of, like a string of pearls, as it were, of all the little healing moments, because there's just been, seems like millions of them. And I suspect that the same for both of you. But people, it's like these two guys are proof that that it works. If you work it, you know, you just have to have the heart of intention and have enough knowledge to go for it. And just keep listening to rock and the radio, and it'll help.
It does require a commitment level, for sure.
Oh. Well, I tell you what, that I may have 100 million faults, but that is probably the least of them. Because
you're lucky.
I'm motivated. You know, so from the inside out.
I hear you.
And the good Lord has put it to me like that. And one more thing, that the fact that Patrick and you, and I know I did, mine was a stepdad, because things were tough, I mean, beyond tough, way beyond tough, for so long, those who have those experiences and move through them in some way without pretending they're not there. I'm really dealing with it. I've always been the most interesting people to me, and you guys are really interesting now because you've done so much. And but that's, you know, in a way, we all have to thank our some of our the darkness that we came up through to bring us where we are now.
That's true. That's true. It's definitely been a motivator. You know, I look at the illness I had as when I was a kid, and if I hadn't had that motivator, hadn't almost died three or four times, and then needed to find and understand healing, I'd have never been on this path. So I'm certainly thankful.
Yeah, me too. I'm glad you made it, Michael. And yeah, my experience along those lines started when I was 1 year old. I coded in the same hospital I was in. Doctors told my mom not to even try to bring me back, as best as I understand her story. And I had all I can say is an intervention. Clear light intervention that kind of resurrected or renewed the possibility again, and we were off to the races. And I am really grateful for this life. I have to tell you, really grateful.
I'm with you. Just the fact of having a human life is absolutely amazing and awesome, and it boggles my mind when people go around bitching and complaining about this and that and this and that and the next thing when, my God, you've got a human life. Like, what more do you want? It's like just
yeah,
such an amazing gift.
Exactly. What an opportunity, and I don't think anything bothers me in the same way as when I call up somebody I care about or whatever, I say, what's been going on the last 3 months or whatever, and they go, same old, same old. I would go, huh?
Yeah, how is that possible?
How is it? That's not possible, whether you think it is or not, people. So, yeah. So anyways, Michael and Jeannie, thank you very much for rocking the radio. And Patrick, I love you, brother. Always have. Always will. And all of you.
All right,
so,
my friend.
Anyways, the best to everybody on the holidays. And till
you
then,
too.
Yeehaw.
All right, my friend. Get the best year yet of your eternal life. Patrick. Appreciation. All right, well, Miss Jeannie, we've got about 3 minutes left, I think, maybe two. So is there anything happening in the chat room?
Actually, have a minute and a half is all you've got, and that's without an outro. So you actually have about 40 seconds. Yinka's with us in the chat room. Thank you, Yinka, for all that you do for us. And I'm not sure if you've heard or not, but one of the ladies who's been listening, part of the book club, is going to translate the book into Chinese. And so we're excited about that.
That is exciting.
And it is Mandarin.
It's
China.
A third of the world's population. Pretty cool. Well, in any event, everybody, we sure appreciate you joining us. Have the most wondrous holy day season, and really, truly, with this new year, create the best year yet of your eternal life. It is a gift the world needs and that each of us can create. Thank you for joining us, and blessings. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to Mind Shifters Radio with Dr. Michael Rice and myself, Jeannie Rice, and Dr. Tim Hayes and Michelle Pichet, as we present the first century Aramaic internal process of forgiveness. We are here for 2 hours every Monday through Friday from 12 noon to 2 o'clock Eastern Time on Mind Shifters Radio. For more information on Aramaic forgiveness, please visit www.whyagain.org. That's www.whyagain.org.
AGAIN.org.